So we left off yesterday. We're in the middle of it's a little bit complicated sugya. The second parak. How we got to the second parak was via the first parak, because the Gemara just made a blanket statement that a sukkah made of machitza shabarzel is going to be acceptable. The walls could be made out of metal. So we raised already two possible problems with that. The first problem was, don't the halachas of the kashas and the schach carry over to the walls? So we said the answer to that question is probably not. Maybe one Tana held that way, but la halacha doesn't really concern us. But the more significant question is the sugya in the beginning of the second parak, where the Gemara begins to speak about some possible limitations of a person who's building a sukkah kari amita, a person who's building a sukkah on the bed frame. So in order to understand whether or not that does carry over to our sugya, we highlighted a machlokes amoraim as to what could the potential problem be with the sukkah and kari amita. So one opinion was ein la keva, and the other was Mamed B'davra Makabotuma. So we didn't even get to the second part yet. That's going to be actually the more critical part for us, but we still have to finish to get the proper perspective. So let's go back for a moment to that sugya. And the Gemara told us that, at least according to the view of Rabbi Yehuda, if you set up a sukkah on a bed frame, that's a problem because you're Eim L'Keva. It doesn't have kviyas to it. So we were a little bit concerned what that means. What exactly do those words mean? It's Eim L'Keva. So Rashi said it's movable. The fact that it's movable, that in and of itself disqualifies the sukkah. So Tosfos had a lot of kashas in that Rashi, because there are other Gemaras that seem to say movable sukkahs are not per se possible. There may be other tangential problems with certain other movable sukkahs, but the fact that it's movable is not a posel. Tosfos had a raya from the sukkah on the boat, and Tosfos had a raya from the sukkah on top of the animal. So it doesn't seem to be, says Tosfos, that there's an absolute principle called the movable sukkah being disqualified. So Tosfos is stuck. Tosfos is still trying to figure out, so what do the words mean, en lakeva? So we take a look back on the top of the back of the first pages. It's the middle of Maror Mokom number 8. So Tosfos writes, quotes from Yerushalmi, it's the third line from the top. Uvishalmi mashma, third line, middle of the third line from the top. Uvishalmi mashma, the time lefi she'ein la keva, she'ein la yutvachim min amita ad legag. Says Tosfos, you want to know what ein la keva means? Ein la keva does not mean that it's movable, that's not a posel. Ein la keva means that it doesn't have the right dimensions of a sukkah. Namely, it's short, it's not 10 tvachim tall. That's the reason why it's possible. So the question is, wait a second. If that's what Ein L'Keva means, that it's not 10 tvachim tall, so why is that a machlokes amoraim within a one Tana who says that the sukkah is no good? Ein L'Keva 10 tvachim is chayv l'yavah. That's the first Mishnah Masechta Sukkah. That's Halacha Moshav Sinai. I learned that from Sukkim. I don't want to give too much coming attractions. I may speak about that in the Drush tonight in Shul. Those daven in my Shul. So Ein L'Keva yud tvachim. That's the reason for one Amir of one Tan who says that the Sukkah Kiryat Mita is possible. So the Rishonim are quick to point out, as themselves points out a little later, that whether or not you label this Sukkah as lacking 10 Tfachim is a little bit shaky. Why? Because if we had like a diorama, maybe we can display this properly. You have a Kiryat Mita, so you have the bed frame, and then you have something which is supporting the Schach, and then the Schach is on top. How do you cheshbon the 10 tefachim? Where did the 10 tefachim go from? Do you calculate the 10 tefachim from the floor, literally from the ground level? Or do you calculate the 10 tefachim from the base of the bed itself? So comes the Rishonim and explain, that's what the Rishonim is chuppering on. That's the problem with the sukkah. If you would have calculated the 10 tefachim from the floor, from the ground level, you would have 20 tefachim, it would have been perfectly okay. The chiddush of Kari Amita, that only Rabbi Yehuda apostled, that only one opinion within Rabbi Yehuda apostled, is because they had this unique way of calculating the 10 tefachim from the base of the bed, not from the base, not from the ground level. Taka, ein la yitvachim. So that's at least takes a little bit of a sting out of the Rishalmi, Lefisha, ein la yitvachim. What do you mean? Of course, less than a short apostle. No, this is a very, very unique way of calculating ein la yitvachim. Of course, the problem with the Rishalmi and Tosfos Pshat is, it's an interesting psul, but what in the world does that have to do with the words Ein L'Keva? Ein L'Keva sounds like there's no kviyas to it, there's no permanence to it. So you have a million kashas on Rashi, A lot of Gemara sound like a movable sukkah is okay, but at the end of the day, Rashi at least is loyal to the words. The words in like Kevin mean what they say. According to Tosfos and the Rishali, it's a nice pill. But what in the world does that have to do with Ein Lakeva? So we're going to have to put that particular part of the sugya on hold until, I can't even say later in the sugya, it's actually a sugya, a few sugyas down the line. We're going to come back to this Rishami, to a beautiful, beautiful var from the Briska Rav, just to explain tachas what the words mean. So we're going to take this Tosas on faith right now, that this is Tosas, the second approach to the chisar of Ein Lakeva. So far we have two different approaches. We have the approach of Rashi, a movable sukkah with all the kashas, and then we have the approach of Tosfos, based on the Rishamli, that it's less than 10 tefachim. Again, why that's calculated that way, why that has everything to do with Ein Lakeva, what this has to do with Rabbi Yehuda's theory about sukkah, hopefully another sukkah down the line.
We can go back to the notion of like it's a shear, that less than 10 tefachim is not a shear of kriyas. That has nothing to do with permanence per se. It's just
right. So that makes things worse because the Rishami is sticky into the words of the Babli saying in Lekeva, and the Rishami saying less than 10 tefachim, and Tosfos saying it's the same thing. So because what do we have to do with each other? Less than 10 tefachim, as you say, is a shear, not because the sukkah is correct. Even if you hold sukkah, you say right, you risk it. Everybody agrees to 10 tefachim. Mm-hmm. Never shy. That's the shear of a sukkah. That's a lot more seder. It's 10 tefachim. So it's hard to understand what the connection is. So other Rishonim have other ways of understanding literally what the words Ein Lakeva are. If you take a look at the ninth of the Mamre Kamos, so the Ravid has a comment in his Hasagas on the Rif. We're used to all the comments of the Ravid on the Rambam, but every once in a while, a couple of Masechtas, the Ravid had some issues to take up with the Rif as well. So here the Ravid has a Hasagas on the Rif. So if you take a look at the ninth of the Mamre Kamos, which the fifth line in, first one line is Lezayin of Alachol. It's the fifth line into the Ravid, in the middle of the line. The Lamandi Yav Nei She'en Lakeva, Kevan Dechol Shaita Tzorach Lu Lekari Hamita, She'emim Hamita, Havilei K'mi She'en Yechol Lama Baruch Mitzuya Diyabasha, Dechai Gavna Lav Klum Hu, V'rabonim D'machshiru, Avdin and Lo K'mi She'echol Lama. So comes the Ravid and says, the real psul of Ein Lakeva is related to a different psul. The psul being, if you have a sukkah, it's very, very flimsy and you can't stand. We spoke a little bit about this. Either it's blowing in the wind or it's going to fall down from the wind. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of sukkah that the shear of mechitzas, the thickness, the sturdiness of mechitzas, is that it has to be yechol lama beruch mitzuy. However you define ruch mitzuy, however you define yechol lama, but everyone agrees it's such a shear called yechol lama beruch mitzuy. So I usually think that the ruch mitzuyah means the wind. So says the Rabbi, it could mean the wind, but what if there are other factors? What if there are other natural factors, other physical things that are going to potentially knock this sukkah out of the box, knock the sukkah down? So even though right now the sukkah is not knocked down, right now the sukkah is not going anywhere, but it's omed lekach to be destroyed, it's omed lekach to be moved, so that's also a subcategory of says the Ravid, that's the problem with the Kari Hamita. So the Kari Hamita, things that are not like Rashi says, because the whole sukkah is going to be moved, picked up and moved from one place to another. No, it's going to be dismantled. So people are going to need, I'm going to need the Kari Hamita, I'm going to need it for other things. It's a type of a sukkah that's omed lekach to be destroyed in the next couple of hours. So even though right now it's not going anywhere, for the next 20 minutes, I'm not going to take it apart. That's like the sukkah, that right now it's not windy, and now it's going to become windy. So that's called a quasi-sukkah she'enich olam ruch mitzuyah. So comes the Ravid and says, that's what Ein Lakeva means. So Ein Lakeva doesn't conjure up images of Rashi, it's movable. Ein Lakeva doesn't conjure up images of the Yerushalmi, that's less than 10 tefachim. Ein Lakeva means it's included in the psul of Einich olam ruch mitzuyah. The problem is, if that's the case, then the Rav is almost guilty of overkill. It's such a great psul, so how come nobody else subscribes to it? How come the Rabbanan don't accept it? How come the other day in the Gemara, Bedas Rabbeinu doesn't accept it? So the answer is, it's a far cry from Ein Yechol Lama Baruch Mitzuyah. Ein Yechol Lama Baruch Mitzuyah means that there are natural things that almost that's out of my control. I'm building my sukkah here, and I know that it can't withstand the 50 mile per hour wind, so that's a problem. Here, I'm building the sukkah. If I decide not to move it, it's not going anywhere. So is that called Ein Yechol Olam LeBaruch Mitzuyah? That's a chiddush. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush. And that was only one opinion within Rabbi Yehuda who was mechadish that. And everybody else thought, nah, that's not called Ein Yecholah Bruch Mitzuya. But in the heart and soul of the sugya, the reason why it's quote unquote possible, according to one opinion, is linked to that sugya of Ein Yecholah Bruch Mitzuya. So when all the dust settles, there is a certain similarity between the Ravid and the Tosfos in the sense that they're both searching for what makes this Ein Lakeva, and they both came up with different pre-existing psulim. The pre-existing psul, either of 10 tvachim, the pre-existing psul of Ein Yecholah Bruch Mitzuya, but the common denominator between the two Rishonim is that they didn't make up a new psul. There's nothing brand new. Rashi made up a new psul. Yesh B'yayin, called movable sukkahs are no good. Not because they're going to be dismantled. Just the fact that it's movable, that's in and of itself a problem. So Tosfos said, but it's not true. You have sukkahs on animals and sukkahs on wagons, you have sukkahs on boats. We got a million sukkahs that are moving around and they're okay. So it has to be, the other Rishonim say it has to be more than, it has to be deeper than that. So they had a search for pre-existing psul. So the pre-existing psul is either 10 tefachim, or the pre-existing psul is Ein Yecholah Bruch Mitzuya. The problem is anytime you subscribe the psul to a pre-existing psul, that forces you to explain, so how come the other Tanaim, the other Amorim didn't say it? According to Rashi, that it was Rabbi Yehuda's one opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, that came up with a brand new psul. So you can't ask everybody else why they don't accept brand new things. They never heard of such a psul. But according to the way the Ravid is learning the sugya, the way Tyson and Yushami are learning the sugya, they were talking about something that's pre-existing problem. So then you have to explain away why nobody else bought into it. So the answer is, according to Tosfos, everybody else had a different way of calculating 10 tefachim. They calculated it from the ground. Why they did that or didn't, that's another question. Or according to the Ravid, everybody else felt this is not exactly analogous to the Ein Yecholah Bruch Mitzuya. So when all the dust settles, we have a few different biurim in the Rishonim as to what exactly is the root of the problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and again, within one opinion according to Rabbi Yehuda. But this was all the introduction to our sugya, which is, I can't even say the introduction to our sugya, this is the introduction to Daf Chaf Aleph, which is going to in turn become the introduction to our sugya. There was another opinion in the Gemara. There was another reason why Rabbi Yehuda disqualified the sukkah. And that was the reason, let's go back for a moment, back to the seventh of the Maimon Kamos. So the Gemara says, my time of Rabbi Yehuda, the seventh of the Maimon Kamos, the first line of the Gemara. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason for Rabbi Yehuda? Chadama once said, because the sukkah doesn't have a keva, tells us Rishami, Rabbi, Rashi, whatever it means. The Chadama, and the other opinion says, because you're supporting the schach with something which in and of itself is makabel tuma. So the question says, what's the difference in halacha? According to both opinions, Rabbi Yehuda disqualifies it. Might be Nayum. The difference, Kagon, Shanot Shvudun Shal Barzel, that was the word we didn't want to say. Not Shvudun Shal Barzel, the Sichaleim, the Nafkabina would be, what if you don't have a Keri Hamita? It's not the setup of a Keri Hamita that runs into a problem of an Ein Lakeva, whatever Ein Lakeva means. It's simply a person sticks of iron, and he puts Chach, he's supporting the Chach with pieces of metal. This is something that's already touching a little bit closer to home now. We're getting a little bit more nervous. Anyone has a canvas, so I got very, very nervous in that line. The Gemara just said, you take a stick of metal, i.e. a metal frame of sukkah, you put the schach on top of the metal. So the Gemara says, that may potentially be a red flag. According to the opinion who says that the whole problem, according to Rabbi Yehuda, was the lack of keva, whatever that meant, Tosfos, Rashi, Ravid, Hariyesh Lekeva. What's wrong with Shvud HaShabazel? It's not going anywhere. It's not movable. It's more than 10 tvachim. It's not being dismantled. What's the problem? There's no independent psul. So this chach is being supported by metal. So what? But according to the opinion that says that there's somehow a new psul that we have no idea what this psul is based on, called Mam B'davar M'Kabotuma, Harei Mamid B'davar M'Kabotuma. So that any case where you're potentially being Mamid with the Davar M'Kabotuma is potentially going to be a problem. So that was the second reason that was quoted in the Gemara. Now again, we still don't know, do we follow Rabbi Yehuda or do we follow the Rabbanan? We're still not even sure what Rabbi Yehuda's reason is, but now we have to begin to analyze the second reason more, because this second reason affects us in two ways. It affects some of us in terms of literally our own sukkahs, but it also affects us in terms of our sukkah, because the Gemara just said that according to one opinion, if there's metal in the sukkah, that raises a problem. Whereas Agamar said, Mechita Shabbaz will look perfectly okay. Sounds like no one ever heard of there being a problem of metal, quote unquote, supporting the schach. So let's see if we can understand what the reason for this psula is. The second version of Rabbi Yehuda, that we're not sure we possibly like, what could possibly be wrong with Ma'amid B'davar Makabel Tumah? So Rashi, which again, as we always say, we always lose out the Rashis and the Mem Kavos, so let's say about that. So Rashi says that in explaining Rabbi Yehuda, explaining the second verge of Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi says that since the Davar HaMa'amid, that which is supporting the Schach, is playing a critical role, and without the Davar HaMa'amid, the Schach can fall onto the ground. So Rashi says, therefore, it is no longer possible in Halacha to differentiate between the Ma'amid and the Schach. If the Ma'amid disappears, then the Schach goes down with it. So then basically the Halacha says the two fuse to become one, the two merge to become one. There's no longer Ma'amid and Schach. There's one entity called, there's the Schach. Whatever is necessary for the Schach to be there, Apidin is considered to be the Schach. And what are the ramifications of being the Schach? All of the Schach kicks in. And what are the Halachas of Schach? Schach has to grow on the ground, and Schach has to be detached on the ground, and Schach has to be Enuma Kabel Tumah. Well, guess what? If you have Shvud and Shabarzel, so they strike out on two out of those three, they don't grow on the ground, and they're Mekabel Tumah. So therefore, Rashi says, according to this version of Rabbi Yehuda, since the Halacha no longer differentiates between the Ma'amid and the Schach, it's all one entity, all the Dinei Schach carry over to the Ma'amid. Is this a Svar D'Araisa or a Svar D'Rabbanan? It sounds like a Svar D'Araisa. It's hard to exactly understand it, but Rashi didn't use the words gezeirah, didn't use the words, well, if you do this, then something terrible is going to happen. I didn't say any of that. Rashi just said that the two merged to become one. It's some kind of a halachic entity, halachic mechanism that, again, we don't quite understand where it came from, but you know, I can hear it. It's a svara. So according to Rashi, again, I didn't say Rashi Paskin, that's what I said. According to Rashi, according to one opinion within Rabbi Yehuda that we made in Paskin, like, we're dealing with the potential deraisa here of Ma'amid. So other Rishonim disagree with Rashi. The Ran, on the spot, says it's not true. Deraisa, this is a, come on. Says the Ran, the din deraisa of Schach was given to us as a Nimsal Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's Schach, it has to meet criteria X, Y, and Z. If it's not Schach, then it's not Schach. Ma'amid from today to tomorrow is not Schach. So what is the problem of Ma'amid? So comes around and says, it must be a problem with the Rabbanim. What's the problem with the Rabbanim? It's very simple, very, 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 very realistic fear. Guy's going to walk up to the sukkah and take a look and say, wow, there's a lot of stuff there on the roof of the sukkah. I see some bamboo, and I see some metal poles. Everyone's not going to be so sophisticated to understand. Yeah, the real schach is the bamboo. The metal poles, that's not really schach. That's just supporting the schach. The guy's not going to know. The guy's not going to understand that. He's going to say, oh, I see this metal there, this bamboo there. So the guy's going to make a cheshbon and says, you know, next year, why should I bother going to the sukkah depot and buying a bamboo? I got to go spell it out. I'll go to the junkyard and I'll buy a couple of poles of metal. Because last year, Reuven's sukkah, he had metal for schach. This guy doesn't realize Reuven didn't have metal for schach. Reuven had metal for support of the schach. But the guy's not going to understand that. So either him or Reuven himself next year when his mat flies away, so he's going to say, oh, what do I need? A mat? They're going to fly away anyway. I'll get metal poles. It'll be a sturdy. It'll be a koshlech achilah sukkah. I'm going to have metal poles to my sukkah. Last year, the rabbi said metal was okay. Little will he know that last year, the metal was merely supporting the schach, not the schach proper. So the Ran puts this into the realm of gezeiros. It's a gezeirah with the rabbanon. Gezeirah otu, that you may come to be mesachek with something which is bekabel tumah. So again, we don't know how we paskin. We're not even sure what Rabbi Yehuda said, what the reason was. But at least we have a working machlekes harishonim within that second svara of Davar Mekabel Tumah. So we have to now understand a couple of things. We have to understand, do we paskin at all like any of this? Or is this just pure Torah Lishma in the sense of we're discussing Rabbi Yehuda sheet that we don't follow altogether, number one. And number two, if we do follow Rabbi Yehuda, we have three things to figure out. Do we follow Rabbi Yehuda altogether? Number two, if we follow Rabbi Yehuda, which version of Rabbi Yehuda do we follow? And most important for us is, well, Lamaisa Argamar says that Mechitza Shabarzel is okay. So according to the second version of Rabbi Yehuda, isn't every Mechitza Shabarzel automatically a violation of Ma'amid B'davar Mekabel Tumah? That's what you're doing. I'm building metal walls, and then I'm throwing bamboo across the metal walls. According to one day in the Gemara, isn't that a problem? So how do you read our law in the Gemara? When Abai asked Rava, Elamei Atta Mechit Shabarzel Psulim, that's crazy, it's absurd, it can't be. Why is it so crazy? Why is it so absurd? Ayin Sukkah Dav Chaf Aleph. maybe every Mechitz Shabazel is, by definition, a deficiency of a Ma'am and B'davar Mekabel Tumah.
Within Rashi, is there an end within Rashi? Does that have an end point? Meaning, because if Ma'amid is Barzel, then Ma'amid...
You're already jumping into the term called Ma'amid the Ma'amid. See, that's already on the tip of your tongue. Ma'amid the Ma'amid. So that term, Ma'amid the Ma'amid, didn't enter into the halachic dictionary until the days of the Magen Avraham. So we're going to... I mean, it may or may not be a Ramban. That's what we're going to talk about as the sugya develops. Some potential limitations about it. So how should we paskin? Bottom line is, how should we paskin in the Shaila? So we take a look at the 11th of the Mar Makomos. So the Rosh begins to tackle this problem. How should we paskin the Rosh? Says the Rosh in the 11th of the Mar Makomos. Behavior of Alfasi Divra Baye Nira Shaposek Rabbi Yehuda, that the Rif quotes Abaye, who comments on the sugya of Rabbi Yehuda, who seems to take Rabbi Yehuda lahalacha. So says the Rosh Badas Arif, from the fact that the Amoraim, the later Amoraim, Abaye and others, seem to be quoting Rabbi Yehuda, that's the direction we should be going in. V'taymei, and why do we think that's true? Came in the Shaklu Vitaru Amoroi Lefarish Tam Devarav. So the Amoroi was spending a lot of time trying to explain what Rabbi Yehuda meant. Rabbi Amram said one thing, Rabbi Zeri said something else, and the Abaye gives Nafkamina. The Gemara is taking the sugya, Rabbi Yehuda's statement very, very serious, spending an awful lot of time on Rabbi Yehuda. That in and of itself points us in the direction that we should probably follow Rabbi Yehuda. Now again, this is a little bit of a deviation, because normally, Yachid V'Rav Aloch Karabim, but we said many times, Yachid V'Rav Aloch Karabim is only true if there's no statement in the Amoraim to the contrary. If there would be a straight Amorav Aloch Rabbi Yehuda, that would trump everything. So here we don't have that, but you have almost an indication, you have a discussion of later Amoraim spending a lot of time understanding and analyzing Rabbi Yehuda, that's almost tantamount to saying, according to Amorav Aloch Rabbi Yehuda. So that's how the Rosh is quoting the name of the Rif, that we're pointing in the direction of being Chayshish Rabbi Yehuda. Now again, that doesn't mean that we know which reason Rabbi Yehuda said is the correct one. So the Rosh continues. V'gam Abaye Amar Devar V'alibid Rabbi Yehuda, and Abaye also later on the Sugya seems to be following Rabbi Yehuda. Amar Svilu Kavasei. But now the Rush goes off a little bit. V'gamani Omer. But then the Rush says, not only am I satisfied with what the Rif said, that we probably follow Rabbi Yehuda, I think the real reason for Rabbi Yehuda is V'gamani Omer detam keva ikar. That's the main reason. So we can breathe a sigh, but we like that reason, because that reason is going to disqualify all of us who make sukkahs on bed frames. It's going to disqualify anyone who moves around with a sukkah, anyone who's got less than 10 tefachim, anyone whose sukkahs are being dismantled. That's not going to touch us, because we can build all the metal poles that we want and leave them there for a week, and no one's going to disqualify our sukkahs. So we're very, very happy if the Rosh is right, that the reason for Rabbi, you know, we started getting nervous because the Rosh paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, so we started to shake a little bit. But then we're calming down because the Rosh is siding with the reason of Tam, the Iker Tam of being Keva. But then the Rosh continues, Kid the Isa be Rishalmi. He quotes the Rishalmi. So by referencing the Rishalmi, he's basically saying that the real reason to disqualify the Kari Amit is Tentvachim. That's the bottom line. That the sukkah doesn't have 10 tefachim. But then the Rosh turns the sugya around on its head. It says, V'lo yadana me'eze tam yachshir rabbanon. Heichet desamach aschacha kiri amita. V'yemi kiri amita agak asara. He says, wait a second. If the Rishami is right, that the reason is a lack of 10 tefachim, so how come everybody else doesn't disqualify us? We asked this question already. We said, well, maybe the rabbanon have a different way of calculating 10 tefachim. So the Rosh thought, no. Everyone's using the same tape measure. Everyone's counting the same lack of 10 tefachim. So if you like the Rishami, again, we like this Rishami because the Rishami doesn't cause any trouble for us. So we're very happy with the Rishami's reason less than 10 tefachim. We have no idea why that means Ein L'keva, but we're trusting the Brisker Rav's going to get us out of that pickle in a few weeks from now. But says the Rosh, wait a second. According to the rabbanon, why isn't it a problem? So listen to what he says. The Rosh turns the whole sugya on its head. Hilkach nira, the Rabbi Yehuda leferushe divrei Tanakama asa, v'leikach apluksa. Says the Rosh, guess what? Nobody disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. V'shtate, where does it say that someone disagreed? So go back. Wait, go back to the first Mishnah. So go back. Not the first Mishnah. Go back to the seventh of the Mar Makomos. Hasomech sukasa b'kari amita k'sheira. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that if it can't stand by itself, whatever that meant, we had no idea what that meant. Rav Yehuda says psula. It could be everybody agrees psula. Where does it stand when disagrees with Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda is qualifying the Tanna Kamma, not arguing with the Tanna Kamma. So the Rush says, I'm so convinced that Yerushalmi's reason is such a great reason to apostle it, that everybody holds like Yerushalmi. We, until 2 minutes ago, every time we came up with a reason to apostle the Sukkah, we were trying to figure out why the Chabim didn't apostle the Sukkah. The Rush says, stop wasting your time. Everybody apostles the Sukkah because Ein Lakevet doesn't have 10 Tvachim. So where does the Rush put us in terms of our overall view of the Sukkah? So the Rush gave us some clarity in the sense he answered some of our questions. Some of our questions were, should we follow Rav Yehuda? Should we follow the Chachamim? So the Rush says, of course you follow Rav Yehuda because there are no Chachamim. Nobody else disagrees. So that was clarity, point number one. Number two, we wanted to know, well, which is the reason for Rav Yehuda, which is the emissary reason? So the Rush says, oh, come on. The real reason is, as it says, the Rishalmi of Ein Lakeva. And what does Ein Lakeva mean? Ein Lakeva means less than 10 Tvachim. Everybody subscribes to it. Shalom Yisrael. According to the way the Rush concludes, sizes up the sugya, the reason of Mamid B'davar B'kapel Tuma is like dust on the wind. It just disappeared into thin air. It means it doesn't interest us anymore. There was one lone day in the Gemara that had it. It's not accepted. It's not relevant for us. And we're not going to be concerned with it. Therefore, according to the Rush, which line in our sugya reads like a charm? Which line reads smoothly? So go back to the first of the Rambam Kamos. I'm going to buy him. Yeah. Would anybody say that? Yeah, one Amira back 200 years ago may have said that. It's Abai and Rava talking. Abai and Rava saying, nobody holds Mamid. Never heard of Mamid. There's no such thing. There's no such animal called Mamid. And therefore, you can build a sukkah with Mechitza Shabarza, put the schach on top of it, and Shalom Yisrael. So when all the dust settles, everything is great according to the Rush, because we're happy because all the canvas sukkahs with the metal poles are all fine. No one's considered Mamid. No one in Halacha is considered Mamid in the last 1,700 years. Then, number two, we're also happy because we're learning that Beis and the Gemara says, Mechit Shabbaz are good. We're home free. Everything is great. According to the Rush, we're totally happy. I would say, I don't want to detract anyone's simcha on Zman Simcha Seinu. So everyone remain happy, but I'll just tell you that hopefully, Mechit Shabbaz after sukkahs, we're going to find out that there are Shonim who don't say that's correct. The Rishonim will say, no, that Mamid B'davar B'kapel Tuma is a problem, and they're going to have other interpretations of Mechitza Shabbazel, and they are going to have problems with the metal on the canvas frame. So I don't want to ruin for you, but suffice to say, according to the Rush, you can go into sukkahs no matter what your sukkah looks like, and you're okay. You don't have to lose any sleep off Mechitza Shabbazel. According to the Rush, everything is gewaldic, but hopefully Mitzvah Shem in 2 weeks from now, we come back after Yantif, so we'll try to go back and see that we still have 15, there are 15 Rav Makomas in the sugya, and we're only up to number 11, so we still have a little bit of a way to go. For the Mitzvah, we'll see the other view, or the other version of the Mishnah.